Morning in the 2 Samuel chapter number 24. 2 Samuel 24. I'd like to welcome all our visitors this morning and just trust you've been made welcome in God's house. And each one that's here today, we trust that you come looking for something from the Lord. Now let me say this morning before I start my message, the Lord knew exactly who was going to be here. Amen. And I'm looking around and say, man, I wish this one was here and that one was here and this one was here. But God has prepared a message for the ones that are here. Amen. So this message this morning is for you. Amen. It's for you. It's for me. And it's for all of us to take heed and to give serious consideration to. And we trust you'll do that this morning. If you found 2 Samuel chapter 24, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for a burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. Listen at verse number 24. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer my burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? I want to preach to you this morning on something that we have grown so complacent in. We've grown so fickle in many ways, and we've grown so haphazard in, and that's our worship. Amen? You know, God is worthy of our worship. God's love to us cost him something. Amen. He spared not his son. His son spared not his life. His son shed his blood because he loved us. But how little it cost us to worship him. You know, we take for granted the fact that we have a meeting house to come to. We call this the house of God, and you can call it whatever. The house of God's right here. God dwells within us. This is the meeting house. This is the place where we come to worship him. This is the place where we come to honor him. There is love that is easy to speak and love that is easy to make pretense on. But then there is love that truly call something. There's a true and strong love to Jesus that some people possess that make them willing to forsake everything and to give everything unto him. If we love Jesus, it's going to cost us something. And if it costs us something, it's got to be from the heart. It's got to be genuine. It's easy to give things. It's easy to go through the motions. But we need to understand that we need to love Jesus till it hurts. Amen? We need to love Jesus until it brings true sacrifice. We'll never worship Jesus unless we're willing to sacrifice to worship Him. Amen? Now y'all done got quiet. Y'all are done locking up. Uh-oh. He's going to want something. Open your hearts. Listen to the Word of God this morning. And let it understand you where you, let it help you understand where you need to be. To worship the Lord, it is going to cost us. There's some things that it is going to cost us. It's going to cost us self-denial. Amen? You know how easy it is to say, I don't have time to worship because I want to do this. I don't have time to worship because I've got to go do this. I don't have time for worship because I've made other plans in my life. It's going to cost us self-denial. We're going to have to figure that God has loved us enough to send His Son, that His Son loved us enough to give us life, that He shed His precious blood to deliver us from the curse of sin, because He was willing to sacrifice Himself for us, and yet we don't want to deny ourselves of the things and the pleasures that we want to satisfy ourselves with, that we might worship Him. If you're going to worship God and you're going to uplift Him and you're going to glorify Him, it's going to take self-denial. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's a battle that rages, and we got to let Christ be the victor. Self and Christ are incompatible. To have the one, we must be prepared to surrender the other. Amen? If we're going to satisfy the flesh, we got to surrender Christ. Amen? That's what happens. Amen? We want to satisfy the flesh. We want to satisfy what I want. So we surrender Christ and what He wants. He wants that relationship. He wants that fellowship. He wants that time with us. You know, we scheme to hold on to both, and we think we've got it balanced out, and we think we've got it figured out so many times. Well, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can still worship God. We scheme and we plan and we try to fit Him in when He should be what everything is revolving around. And we think we got ourselves fooled. We think we got Christ fooled, but really, nobody's fooled. We know what we're doing. Amen? And we don't surrender ourselves so that He can have preeminence. We want to lift ourselves up and let Him be second place. And you can never worship God when He's second place in your life. He must come before everything. He must come before all your desires and all the things and all the plans that you want. So we either spare ourselves and sacrifice Him or we obey Him and sacrifice ourselves. The question is, what do you want to do? Getting awful quiet. I'm getting the stairs. I heard a great message this week. Brother Dale Vance preached a great message about coming to God's house. Amen? And when Jesus came into the temple, when He found His Father's house had been made a house of merchandise, He made a choice. He made a decision. He took action to clean it up. Amen. When God's house becomes no more to you than just a place to come to, just like any other place, we're buying and selling in the temple, we're exchanging money, there's the sheep and the goats, and it's just like any other place you go, it's no longer a place that is special to you. Amen. Because you've made it just as common as the rest of the world. When we come to worship, And we don't do no more when we get here than what we do anywhere else. When our hearts are not in it, our hearts are not sold out to it, we make the God that we worship just as common as anything else that's in the world. And I don't know about you, but my God is not common. I don't know about you, but my Savior went above and beyond what any common man could do to redeem me from the curse of sin. We try to fool ourselves into thinking that we got it all laid down, but then some of us come to the realization sometimes that we got to surrender it all. I surrender all. Amen. It's all His. My time is His. My money is His. The things I have are His. He's just let me borrow them. And I begin, and we begin, and we strive to begin to get our priorities in order and give Him the place that He deserves. And we begin to find ourselves denying ourselves more and desiring more of Him. The Lord said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. The closer you get to Him, the closer He'll get to you. The closer He gets to you, the more you want to worship Him. Because the closer He gets to you, the more you realize just how sweet and just how precious and just how good, just how loving, just how kind, just how merciful, just how benevolent He has been to you in your life. And that gives you something to worship for. Amen. The closer I get to Him, the more I desire to be amongst His people. Amen. The closer I get to Him, the more I desire to be in His presence. The closer I get to Him, the more I desire to be in His Word. The psalmist said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By staying in the Word. Amen. He said, I've hid thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Why? Because he wanted to be able to worship with a clean heart and in a perfect way and in a pure way. He wanted his life to be surrendered unto the will of God. It's going to cost going to a lot of things that other people run to because you'd rather run to the Lord. It's going to cost having things at your house because there's no time for it because having time for the Lord is more important. It's going to cost to sacrifice yourself and to deny yourself. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, He said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. You know what that means? Self-denial. I'm sacrificing my life. I'm sacrificing who I am. I'm sacrificing the things I want to do for what the Lord wants to do through me and in me and with me. That you present yourselves a living sacrifice. Listen to what He says. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, the Lord's not asking for you to do any more than what He's done for you. The Lord's not asking you to give up any more for you than what He's given up. He's not asking you to give up a smidge of what He's given up for you. Jesus stepped out of the portals of glory. We sing, out of the ivory palaces. Amen. He stepped out of the glory world into this world. He stepped out of a sinless world into a world filled with sin. He stepped out of His immortality to take on a mortal body, to take on a carnation of a man, that He might die in the flesh. He might sacrifice Himself a ransom for the sins of all mankind. And He says it's only our reasonable duty that we are willing to sacrifice ourselves. Not only will it cost you self-denial, but it's going to cost you relationships. It's going to cost you friendships. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you're going to find out that other people don't want to have anything to do with you. But that's all right, because there are some people, amen, that love to worship with you. There are some people that love to fellowship with you. There are some people that love to gather with you. Why? Because he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst. Amen. You know why I like to get with God's people? Because when I get with God's people, he promised that he would be in our midst. He promised he would show up. Now, I know he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but praise God, when God's people have one mind and one accord and get together for the same purpose, for the same reason, praise God, he shows up and he makes it special.
Amen.
You know, through the years, we've had family that's forsaken us. Through the years, we've had friends that have forsaken us. Through the years, we've had all kinds of folks that have forsaken us. But that's all right, because I got Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what he said? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. You know, I'm willing to realize that I'm not going to be able to please, you know, and the folks that like to drink and they like to party and they like to have things, and man, they want me to come to this and they want me to come to that, and I ain't going, because number one, sometimes where it's at. Number two, sometimes because I know what's going on. And number three, sometimes just because I know who's going to be there. Amen. I'm willing to sacrifice that. Why? Because Jesus was willing to sacrifice all the adoration. Have you read in the Bible what the Bible says is going on in heaven? Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet got a vision of what was going on in the glory world. He said he seen God high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. And you know what was happening up there? There were cherubims and seraphims, and there were angels and heavenly beings, and they were all worshiping the Lord. They were all glorifying his name. They were all telling how great he was, how marvelous he was, how wonderful he was, and how special that he really is, and how special he can be. And praise God, he left all that to come here to be spat upon, to be smitten, to be nailed and hung on an old rugged cross, that he might die for your sins and mine. You think it's not worth forsaking some of the relationships that we got down here? Not only will you forsake your relationships, sometimes you forsake your reputation. Amen. It will cost you your repute among men. The Apostle Paul was giving his testimony of what God had done in his life. And he was before King Agrippa. He was before Festus the governor. And he was telling how he met God and how he met Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus as the Lord appeared to him from heaven as a great light. And his voice, I believe, thundering, Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you trying to go upstream? Why are you trying to go contrary to what you need to be doing? And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he began to relay what had happened in his life. And Festus said, "Paul," he said, "much learning has made you mad." And I don't mean mad and angry. I mean mad and crazy. You know, I've been told I'm crazy. She tells me all the time, "You're crazy to go to church all the time. You're crazy to give 10% of what you make to that church all the time. You're crazy to be doing this. You're crazy to be doing that. You're crazy to fellowship with them people. You're crazy to hang out with that bunch. You're crazy for this, and you're crazy for that. I might be crazy, but let me tell you something. I'm crazy for Jesus. Man, I don't know how many times I've been told I was crazy because I'm a Christian. You know what? I'm just crazy enough to believe everything this precious book said. I'm just crazy enough to accept what Jesus has done for me. I'm just crazy enough to want to worship Him, and I want to get in His presence and to worship Him. I'm going to try to get up to revival meeting up at Nottingham this week, up to their Jubilee. I love to hear some good preaching. They got some good preaching. They got some good singing. Things are going on. I'm crazy enough to want to be there. Amen. We was crazy enough to ride up to Honeybrook this week to hear Brother Dale Vance. Amen. You know what happened? Our hearts got blessed. Our hearts got stirred. You know what else happened? We made some new friends. We met some new people. Amen. You know what? I'm crazy enough to like the new crowd. Amen. You know what? I'm crazy enough to be willing to try something new and try something different if it's going to allow me to spread the gospel. Man, I got to meet some new folks this week. Was it Classical Conversation, CC, a homeschool group. Meeting here at the church now. But you know what? They meet under the condition I get to share from the Word. Amen. You know what? I'm crazy enough to run down here on Tuesday mornings to be able to share the Word with some young people and some moms. And maybe dads. I don't know if I'll be there too, but I'm just crazy enough to want to do that. I'm crazy enough to hand out a gospel tract. Amen. I'm crazy enough to bow my head in a restaurant and say grace. I'm crazy enough not to care what anybody else thinks about the way I worship my God. I'm crazy enough not to be afraid to get a little bit loud. Amen. Some folks sit back, oh, it's getting a little weird in here. Man, you think it gets weird in here? I can take you some places that get real weird. Amen. And take you a trip down to Jolo, West Virginia. Amen. It gets real weird when they start breaking out the snakes and jumping around and hooting and hollering. Amen. You'll get in a spirit one way or the other. A spirit of fear. Amen. Or a spirit of boldness to take one of them things up. Amen. But you know what? I'm crazy enough to worship the Lord. I'm crazy enough not to be afraid to say amen. I'm crazy enough not to be afraid to shout when the Lord says shout. I'm crazy enough, amen, to let others know that I love the Lord because He first loved me. Amen. You know what else it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your possessions. It's going to cost you. If it don't cost you everything, listen to what I'm telling you. If it doesn't cost you everything, it's not worth worshiping with. You could hear a pin drop on the carpet. If it doesn't cost you everything. My wife here, I love her. I was even singing love songs to her last night. She said, "You embarrass me." Amen. She knows she comes in her place. And she knows her place comes after God. But you know what? I know I come in place. And in her life, I know I come after God. You see, He has to have it all. The money, whatever I got in the bank, and she can tell you, if the Lord told me to write a check for everything that we had, she might be crying. She might be saying, are you sure? But if the Lord told me to write a check for everything that we had, and I told her I knew that the Lord was in it, and I knew that the Lord had done it, she'd say, you want me to fill it out? You know why? Because he has everything. You know, all the junk in my barns, all the animals on the farm, everything I have. If the Lord said, I want you to... Lord, please don't do this. If the Lord said, sell it all and go to the mission field, Lord, please don't make me do that. I'd sell it all and go to the mission field. Lord, you know I would. But please don't send me. Send one of them young fellas. If the Lord wants my life, I need to be willing. Say, hear my Lord. Send me. See, it's going to cost you everything. Sometimes we think, well, that's easy. I can just write a check. He wants more than that. He wants everything. Amen. Amen. It's going to cost you everything. Well, it's easy. I'll just do that. He just don't want you for today. He wants you all the time. It's going to cost you everything. Over in Mark, where is it? Mark chapter 12, I think it was. Where was it here? Let me look. I got it. Yeah, Mark chapter 12. We had the... They're taking the offering up at the temple. And all the fellows were coming by, all the folks were coming by, and they were throwing their money in the offering. Amen. And here comes this little widow woman, and she drops two mites into the offering plate. And in case you don't know it, the mite was the smallest amount of currency in that age. And they were all, no doubt, going back, man, did you see that check I dropped in there? Did you see what I put in there? Do you see what I gave? Go over and read it. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. They were all putting their money in. And Jesus said, look, I want to tell you something. So did you see that little widow woman that come by and dropped the two mites in? He said, she gave more than anybody else. He said, you see all these fellas that come by and were writing the big checks and dropping the big denarii in, dropping the gold coins and the silver coins and maybe dropping coins in abundance. Did you see all them? He said, they were given of their abundance. But she gave everything that she had. Her entire living. All she possessed in this life. And when she was willing to give of herself financially, it proved that she had already given of herself spiritually unto the Lord. She didn't give him everything. She had nothing else to give. If you're going to worship the Lord and you want to see the Lord begin to move in your heart and move in your life, you want to see the Lord doing the things that he wants to do, it's going to cost you everything. You know why we don't have good worship in our church? You know why people go away and they're disappointed and they're discouraged? Because they haven't been willing to give the Lord everything. Right. Amen. Amen. We come into churches and we've already got other agenda before we get here. Man, I wish he hurries up. I got an appointment. I wish he hurries up. We're going here. I wish he hurries up. We're doing this. I wish he would hurry up. We got this to do. You don't come to worship. Why? Because we haven't given the Lord everything. We don't come to worship. Why? Because we have other things that are still nagging at us. And man, I got to get home and I got to mow the grass. Man, I need to go to the store today. I got to get back to work tomorrow. Why didn't you go yesterday? I don't know, but I got to go to the store today and get some shopping done. Why didn't you make other plans, make other provisions? I've done made plans to meet with so-and-so, and we're going to go do so-and-so this afternoon. And if he don't hurry up, we're not going to have any time to do it. Where is your heart? Where is everything that you have? If he don't have everything, he don't have anything. Because if he don't own it all, you're still holding on to it. And let me tell you something. He won't take it from you. Amen? He won't take it from you. You say, oh, yeah, the Lord, he'll strike you down and he'll take this and he'll take that. Show me that in the Word of God. I've seen the rich man built him bigger barns. Lord never took it from him. But he missed out because he didn't build them for the Lord's glory. He didn't give it for the Lord's glory. He didn't use it for the Lord's glory. He didn't say, it's all the Lord's. It's all about me, 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 me. Amen. Look at David. David was a man that had innumerable wealth. He had all kinds of wives and concubines. He had a multitude of children. He had everything that a man could wish for in this world. He had wealth. He had power. He had great influence. He had a great reputation. Man, what a reputation when God says, I'm seeking for me a man after my own heart. That was God's word. That's what God's prophet said. God done found him a man after his own heart. Amen. He had everything that a man could wish for. And yet stole another man's wife. Don't tell me God will take it from you. But God will let your things ensnare you. Yes. If you put them before him. Amen. Amen. He said the widow gave everything. And because she gave everything, her heart was wholly dependent upon the Lord. Her heart was wholly dependent on what God wanted and what God would do. Now Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. You'll never outgive the Lord. Amen. When you give him everything, amen, he'll bless everything that you have. He says, given, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and flowing over. You cannot outgive the Lord. You can't shovel out the back door with a snow shovel what he can throw in the front door with a teaspoon. Amen. Amen. You cannot outgive, you can outdo what the Lord will do for you. So I just don't have time. I just can't manage my time. You know, God can make your time more profitable. Amen. Well, Pastor, you don't understand just how busy. Oh, I understand busy. Trust me, I understand busy. I know what it is to be busy. I know what it is to work a full-time job. Last few years working, I put in 10, 11 hours, 12 hours a day some days at work and then come home and took care of the things around the farm. I know what it is to be busy and then took care of the things that you're... I understand. But you know what? God makes your time work. Where it didn't need to work. Yes. Amen. I can read in the Bible when men needed time and God provided time for them. Amen. Joshua, he was fighting a battle. And dark was coming. He said, Lord, make that sun stand still in the sky. And you know what happened? The Bible says for almost a day the sun stood still. Amen. Hezekiah was sick unto death and God sent the prophet to him to tell him he was going to live because he had prayed and asked God to intercede and asked God to change his mind. Hezekiah said, well, give me a sign. And the prophet said, well, how about we just make the sundial jump ahead 15 degrees? Hezekiah said, well, that ain't no big deal. He said, make it go backwards. It went backwards. They say, and I can't prove this, but when they were trying to You know, when they shoot rockets up into space, they just can't shoot them into space. There's windows that they have to go. They have to know where that rocket is going to go, and it has to go out at a certain trajectory, at a certain angle, at a certain... Did you all know that? It just don't go out. It can't. It has to go through windows that are... that's how they describe them. There's certain places and ways, but they have to be at a certain trajectory at a certain time at a certain place. And when they were trying to figure all this out, they kept coming up with blanks and couldn't find it. And finally, a Christian was with this bunch of scientists. He said, well, in the Bible, it says, you know, there was a time when, you know, the sun stood still for a day. And they went to checking it out, and then sure enough, they found it, that they could almost make their timing work out to catch the trajectory to get these rockets into space. But it still wasn't quite clear. And they said, well, see, you said that. We found some time discrepancies in history that would account for the time factors that we're trying to make, but it still doesn't answer all of it. We're still not coming up with what we need. So, well, there's another place that said time went backwards. 15 degrees on the sundial. And they went back and they got to researching and studying again. And you know what? They found out the time that they needed to project when these rockets was going to go in the right way. You know why that is? God has everything worked out. God has everything in His hand. Everything's in His control. We just need to learn to turn it all over to Him and give everything that we have to Him. But you know, we can give these things up, but if it's not a matter of the heart, it'll never be a matter of being able to worship. David said, I can't sacrifice. In other words, that's how they worshiped. That's how they honored God. That was, they brought a sacrifice. We don't have to bring a sacrifice. God has sent the sacrifice. And all we got to do is honor the Son. David said, I can't sacrifice from something that doesn't cost me. But if it doesn't come from the heart, it doesn't mean everything. In Psalm 51, David said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. See, it's easy to bring bulls and goats, but it's hard to give yourself. It's easy to throw money in an offering plate, but it's hard to say, Lord, you have everything. It's easy to come and say, well, I went through the motions. You know, I was here for the hour and a half or 2.5 hours, whatever, depending on what time you got here and what you went through. I went through everything. I did my duty today. But it's different to say, Lord, I desire to be there. Lord, I long for a day in your courts. Lord, it don't matter to me if I'm just a doorkeeper, as long as I get to be at the house of the Lord. Lord, it doesn't matter. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to be with your people. See, David knew it was from the heart. The sacrifice that God honors is the sacrifice that's from the heart. The Bible says, so the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed. You know, when we worship right, and worshiping right means to be surrendered, to be submitted, to be sacrificed unto God. He honors that worship. He honors that sacrifice. He lifts the burden. The plague was stayed. He lifted the burden. Amen. He can build upon ground that's been made holy. Do you realize in the time in which we live, I'm going to show you something in a minute, the time in which we live, we don't have to worship God in buildings. But we come here to worship God because He says, forsake not the assembling of thyself together as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching. We come here to exhort and to uplift and to strengthen one another. We come here to be encouraged by our fellowship together. The church doesn't exist in this building. The church exists in your heart. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, he says, "What? Know you not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" See, God no longer dwells in building. He dwells in people. Amen. And because he dwells in people, we have direct access into his presence to worship him. But because he dwells in people, the more people that are gathered together, amen, the stronger the church becomes. The more people that are gathered together, and the more people who are sacrificed and submitted on surrendering themselves unto the Lord, the sweeter the experience becomes. Let me show you something. The parallel scripture to this is in 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and tells a story, but instead of Araunah, he's called Onan, which is another name. It depends on which way it's translated, or Ornan, rather, not Onan, but Ornan. And it says that David bought the threshing floor for 50 shekels of silver. But over in 1 Chronicles, it tells us David bought his possessions. He bought all his land for 600 pieces of gold. Why is it important? Because David wasn't willing to stop with just a little bit. David wanted the whole enchilada. Amen? David just didn't want to have a rudimentary relationship, a rudimentary worship experience. David wanted to sanctify and set aside everything he could for a God who had loved him. A God who had brought him from the sheep coats and had given him rule over all of Israel. A God who had brought peace round about for all his enemies. A God who would take his throne and make it an everlasting throne. A God who would take what he was going to bless in David's life and use it generationally to be a blessing. Do you know that even today, to this very day, people are still worshiping on the ground that David purchased that he might worship God? See, in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, in verse number 1, it says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Folks, the reason we're losing young people, folks, the reason people are in and out of our churches is we're not preparing our hearts. We're not willing to bear the cost to worship the Lord. And generationally, relationship-wise, in every aspect of our lives, it's having an effect. Amen. They're still worshiping today. The Jews are still worshiping at the Wailing Wall, which is the remnant of the temple that Solomon built on the ground that David was willing to pay the cost to sacrifice and to worship God on. Even the heathens come to that place And they recognize it as a holy place. For on the Temple Mount sits the Dome of the Rock. They don't recognize our God, but they recognize the place is special. Why is that? Because David was willing to pay the cost. David was willing to pay the price. David was willing to go above and beyond what was needed and what was required. All David was required to do was to buy the threshing floor. And he wasn't even required to buy it. He was just told to go rear up an altar. It was all offered to him. We offer you worship every Sunday. It was all offered to David at no charge. Blue light special. Here you can have it all. Amen. You can have the threshing floor. You can put your altar up. You can have the oxen for the sacrifice. You can have the implements of the oxen for the wood to do the burning. But David says, if it don't cost me something, I can't offer it. We offer you worship every Sunday morning. We worship together. But some leave out of here never experiencing the blessedness of what it was to be here and to listen to the Word of God. Why? Because you wasn't willing to pay the cost. You wasn't willing to give the sacrifice that was needed. Your mind was other places. Your heart was on other things. And you missed out on the blessedness of being in the presence of God. The blessedness of feeling His touch upon your life. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song.